Welcome to the return of the two wise marks, five yeah. something.
I know it's not the returner.
Well, of course not. We'll see him someday.
Nah.
Once or twice. He likes to come around every once in a while just to prove he's still alive and then we'll go back
Rob
into
Moore.
Hiding.
We'll see Rob Moore.
Probably. If we bring beer, we will yeah. see Rob Moore. That's the key.
it's like the Warriors.
Yeah. It's the key ingredient. It's like if you want Ultimate Warrior around, you bring cocaine. You want Rob Turner around, you bring beer. So what we're going to do is something a little different. We wanted to debut a concept. It's kind of Nate's idea. I adapted it. Nate, what are we going to do here?
Well, you have WCW 93. I have WWF 93.
And what are we going to do with those?
We're booking them the way we want to.
We're booking them the way wrestling used to be and the way you like it. Oh, wait, that's Smoky Mountain Wrestling. Never mind. Oh,
I was going to say, Raw.
I'm booking it Saturday night. Live. No. So, yeah, I'm going to book WCW starting in January 1993. He's going to book Fed starting in January 93. And hopefully we're going to make it all the way through the end, all the way through Starcade.
Maybe we can make it to 97 because that's still got to get finished.
Well, you know, we'll get there.
2097.
Yeah, we're still trapped in 1997, but... That's why we can do this podcast about 1993, because we're still stuck in 1997.
Right. It's so, retrospect.
Yeah. So the way I'm going to organize mine is I'm going to actually read off my debut roster here, and then I'm going to go through January. The goal is whoever has the bigger show is going to go second, which obviously in January is going to be the Royal Rumble. So this is the roster WCW has as of... January 1993, maybe a couple of changes, but I did the best I could based on just a little bit of research. So my main event, I have Name to Be Announced.
Ooh.
Ricky Steamboat and Sting as my baby faces. I have Rick Rude with Medusa and Big Van Vader with Harley Race as my heel main eventers. Then we get to the upper mid-card guys. I have, it's pretty light on the baby face side, so we're going to maybe have some turns coming here. Dustin Rhodes. The Great Muda and Ron Simmons.
Ooh.
My heels are Arn Anderson, Barry Windham, Brian Pillman, Cactus Jack, Paul Orndorff, Steve Austin, and Steven Regal. As I said, little heel slanted.
There might be a push for some mid-carders here coming up.
Well, there's going to be some push from some mid-card babyfaces and maybe a turn or two that'll help the babyface side out. In the mid-card, this is where I do have a little more people here. I've got Too Cold Scorpio, Brad Armstrong, Eric Watts, Johnny B. Bad, Johnny Gunn, a.k.a. Sal Sincere / Tom Brandy, Kensuke Suzuki, Marcus Bagwell, Shane Douglas, Tom Zink, a.k.a. Z-Man, and Heavy Metal Van Hammer.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
The mid-card heels, I have Barbarian, I have Bill Irwin, I have Bobby Eaton, Dan Spivey for a little while. We'll see how long he stays. Diamond Dallas Page, who's also a manager. Fury and Rage, the Wrecking Crew.
Oh, yeah.
There's the other Laurinaitis that we were talking about.
Oh, before. Yeah, because Crash the Terminator. I don't remember him now yet.
Scotty Flamingo, Shanghai Pierce, Tex Lazinger, Tony Atlas, and Vinny Vegas. Yeah.
Pre-hog and pre-pig there.
Yes. The good news is... WCW has some working relationships that I can call upon with Smoky Mountain Wrestling, with AAA, and New Japan.
Yes.
So, going to be using some of those people. Spoiler alert.
Same with me, because I got USWA and War with Tenryu's promotion in Japan.
Yeah, and there's also that Eastern Championship Wrestling you might want to stick your hand out to and see if there's people you want to steal.
Yep. Superfly. Don Barack.
That would be a killer of a signing if you got Superfly.
Oh, there's a guy you miss, it would be a killer tag team.
I mean, I do actually, I don't know why, you know, he's on my roster. I've actually used him in matches. I didn't run, Chris Benoit is also on my roster. We'll talk about Benoit because I actually have plans for him too, but there's a reason why he's not on my roster now that I think about it, but he will be kind of floating around a little bit. I consider him more of a borrowed talent based on what's going to end up happening.
So he'd be like what Liger was.
Well... We'll see, because there's a moment actually in my shows that I'm going to write him kind of sort of semi off. We're going to start WCW Saturday night. January 2nd, 1993. Recap from a house show. Big Van Vader is your new WCW World Heavyweight Champion. Great Muda wins the Battle Bowl from Starrcade 92. And Rick Rude is stripped of the United States title, which means we're going to have something going on with that. So this gets us to the show. We start out with Rick Rude in the ring with a microphone flanked by Medusa.
Cold open.
Just straight to him. Because he's mad. He's in street clothes, too. He's not in wrestling gear. He cuts a promo on the fallout between Medusa and Paulie Dangerously. Because the Dangerous Alliance just imploded at the end of 92. So I kind of want to wrap that storyline up. And Rick Rude says something along the lines of, "You may have noticed, I have the lovely Medusa in my corner and not Paulie Dangerously. What did you expect, Paul? If you give Ravishing Rick Rude the choice between a fine woman like Medusa and a fat, balding New Yorker, you know what the Ravishing one is choosing every single time." And then Rude turns his attention to what he feels is unfair treatment from Bill Watts and the WCW office. He is hot at Bill Watts. He's been stripped of the U.S. title, and a tournament is going to start tonight to decide the next champion. And he has lost his opportunity as the number one contender for the NWA World Heavyweight Championship. He was number one contender. He's pissed. Bill Watts comes storming out once his name's mentioned, and he confronts Rude. And Bill Watts says, "Rude, you might not like my decision, but you're injured, and you are unable to defend your title within 30 days. So what other option does WCW have?" Rude shouts back that it's only a minor injury. He will be back and ready to go before Super Brawl. "Let me keep my title." Watts pauses, and he kind of thinks about it, and he scratches his chin, his bald hair. He says, "You know what? Can't do anything about the U.S. title. You have to defend it every 30 days. You're not going to be able to do that. The tournament's already started. The brackets are already drawn. But if you can be medically cleared by WCW-approved doctors, you will keep your NWA World Heavyweight title shot against Great Muda at Super Brawl 3. I'll make that match official." Rude says, "That's the least you can do, old man," and shoves the microphone at him. And the camera cuts to Jim Ross and Larry Zbysko. We're going to use Jim Ross while we've got him. Spoiler alert. Ross and the Living Legend announced the brackets for the U.S. title tournament. 8 men. First round. Barry Windham versus Brad Armstrong. Ooh. Dustin Rhodes versus Vinny Vegas. Arn Anderson versus Marcus Bagwell. And I feel bad for this guy, Too Cold Scorpio versus Dan Spivey.
Oh.
First round matches tonight and the semifinal next week, with the final occurring at the Clash of the Champions on Wednesday the 13th. Match number one, Dustin Rhodes versus Vinny Vegas. Hey, we just saw that.
Oh.
Vinny gets a little bit of heat early. Dustin makes a comeback. Bulldog, 1-2-3.
Yeah. About 4 minutes, just a little
4 or 5 minute match. Yeah, nothing too crazy. Backstage, we go to Tony Schiavone. He's interviewing Dustin Rhodes. He's cutting his nice little white meat baby face promo. And got a little ahead of myself here. Tony starts to look out off camera and says, what are you doing here? You don't work here. You don't work for WCW. It's Jim Cornette. Walks into frame. "Don't worry, Tony. I have Bill Watts' permission to be here, and I've got a damn good reason. You know Mama Cornette has connections all over the world, Tony, and I am here to provide the opportunity of a lifetime. You see, a major motion picture has reached out to me because they want 2 wrestlers cast in a future Hollywood production. I am searching for the right 2 people to fit my mold. I need 2 people who have the presence, have the look, have the charisma to future superstars in this industry. Who knows? Maybe it could even be the grandson of a plumber like Dustin Rhodes. I've been watching World Championship Wrestling to get a feel for the roster. And we'll be having in-person interviews this week. Next week, live on TBS, I will announce who the chosen 2 are." Cornette walks away. Dustin and Tony just look at each other and kind of shrug their shoulders. We cut to a commercial break. Come back. Dan Spivey already in the ring.
Uh-oh.
He doesn't even get an entrance.
Uh-oh.
Sorry, Spivey. You're not going to really like this booking very much. Because here comes Too Cold Scorpio. It's this slam jam era. Sorry.
Did they just go from the Omni to the Georgia Dome?
Oh, we're in North Korea. We got 200,000 packed into Atlanta Tech Wood Studios here. This is a short match. Scorp uses his speed to beat up on Spivey, gets him down, 450 splash, Too Cold wins. Sorry, got plans for Too Cold, do not have plans for Dan Spivey. Jim Ross announces the WCW champion, Big Van Vader, will wrestle next week on Saturday night. We go to a door backstage, labeled Jim Cornette, Hollywood Interviews. This didn't take very long. With a line of several wrestlers waiting outside. Cornette opens the door and out steps from the inside into the hallway. Bobby Eaton says, "You know, Bobby, I love you, but do you really think you're Hollywood material? Do you really think this look is what Hollywood's looking for?" And Bobby just kind of like, you know, shrugs his shoulders. He doesn't say anything because he's Bobby Eaton. He doesn't say anything. Yeah. But he just kind of shakes his head when he's cut off. He's been cut off. As Stunning Steve Austin walks in, "Excuse me, Bobby, but it's time for the real star of the Dangerous Alliance to get his due." And Austin goes into the room with Cornette as we cut back to the ring. Tex Slazenger and Shanghai Pierce are already in the ring.
Oh, uh-oh, hog and pig here.
As we get Tom Zink and Johnny Gunn. They come out, starts out. Shanghai actually gets the jump, starts putting some heat on Tommy Gunn. Jeez. Johnny Gunn.
Rocky Five.
Yeah. Johnny Gunn. Before he makes tag, Z-Man, who makes a big, big comeback, hits a flying crossbody. 1, 2, 3. Z-Man and Gunn go over. They're not going to have a lot of wins, but hey, they're going to get a couple.
I was going to say, are you still running the same champions is one question I have to ask.
Yes. So as of this time, we start Big Van Vader. Champion, no U.S. champion, no TV champion. Tag team champions are Ricky Steamboat and Shane Douglas. So, yeah, those are my champions as of start. I'll get them to who I want them if I need to. We go back to Cornette. His temporary workspace is what I'm calling it. Scotty Flamingo, Vinny Vegas, and DDP are talking about how perfect they would be for Hollywood. Johnny B. Badd, who is behind them, points out, and I cannot do a Mark Merrill. I'm not even going to try. But he points out that Jim Cornette's only looking for two people. So which two is it going to be? And they all start bickering with one another.
Fun little comedy segment.
Yeah. So they start bickering. We fade out. We go to a pre-taped interview. This is actually a segment that actually happened on the first episode. I'm changing it a little bit. But Tony Schiavone is with Arn Anderson. Doing a pre-tape, Arn's in street clothes, and he cuts a promo about how he has never won the United States Championship before in his life. He has a reputation. I know I have a reputation as a tag team wrestler, but I want to put the whole world on notice that I don't need to rely on anyone to be a success. There's a lot of great competitors in this tournament, but I guarantee not a single one of them is going to work harder than the Enforcer. Putting his hat into the ring for the United States tournament here. Barry Windham and Brad Armstrong. This one we're going to give some time to.
This sounds good.
We're going about 10 minutes here. Brad Armstrong's actually going to get the jump on Windham. Windham's taking his vest and his hat off. And, you know, Brad Armstrong, the plucky babyface, he's, you know, maybe a heel tactic, but he's got to do what he's got to do. He's getting outweighed by about 80 pounds here. So he, you know, gets his shine in. He gets some heat. He gets his comeback. He eventually gets a big drop kick, takes Windham down, gets up on the top rope. Windham comes up, cold cocks him, knocks him silly, falls down on the top rope. Boom, superplex. That's ball game. Barry Windham wins.
That sounds like it'd be a hell of a match.
But Brad Armstrong gets some time. Like, we're going to give him, he's not just getting jobbed here. It is then announced that in the match against Vader, the former champion Ron Simmons has injured his shoulder and will miss some time before he's able to get back into action. Sting then cuts a generic babyface pre-tape promo. Doesn't get a lot of live promo time because I'm sorry, Sting, you're not great at it. And he says that he wants to take down the man they call Big Van Vader. Main event of the evening. The Enforcer Arn Anderson versus Marcus Alexander Bagwell. Bagwell gets some babyface fire, but ultimately Arn's just too much for him. I'm going to give him about 12 minutes, get a little back and forth. I'm not going to completely bury Bagwell here, but he's going to, you know, Irish whip, come off the rope. He's going to get caught in that spine buster, and that's ball game.
Oh, you spine buster finish.
Oh, yeah. He's got... I have him with two finishers. I'm going to do the interchangeably spine buster and the DDT. But I really want to get a spine buster over. It's putting people out. Because it's the best spine buster in the business.
Oh, yeah.
Ever. That's the end of first episode. Brings us to January 9th, 93. Jim Ross kicks us off. Tonight on WCW Saturday Night, we have new WCW champion Vader in action. We hear from Jim Cornette about his search, and the U.S. title tournament continues. We kick it off. Tag team champions are facing off. Ricky Steamboat and Shane Douglas versus Scotty Flamingo and Vinny Vegas. Non-title match. I'm going to give a little bit of time, about 8 minutes, but Steamboat and Douglas are going over. You know, sorry, Scotty and Vinny. You know, you're going to move on to bigger and better things later in your career, but tonight's not your night.
You know, actually, Scotty Flamingo and Ricky Steamboat sounds really good.
We'll see what happens there. Tony comes out to the ring and starts interviewing the victors of the match. And Ricky Steamboat says, you know, we're fighting champions. We're going to defend our titles anytime, anywhere, against anyone. At that moment, Jim Cornette comes out to the ring. Steamboat says, what are you doing here? And he looks at Shane Douglas. Were you talking to Cornette last week? And Douglas, me? I don't care. I don't care about Hollywood. I can't do it, Shane Douglas either.
Dick Flair.
Yeah, Dick Flair. He's like, I don't know. I have no idea why he's out here. He says... Jim Cornette says, you know, you see, I'm here for a reason. Here for a reason. I do not have time for your petty issues, your petty squabbles. You see, I'm here to make stars and to make money, and you're not doing either of them for me. You want to defend these titles? Well, I have just the team for you. Because Hollywood says they want gold. They want my guys to bring gold around their waists when they come to Hollywood. Without further ado, I introduce to you the next greatest tag team in the world. Flying Brian Pillman and Stunning Steve Austin, the Hollywood Blondes. And Douglas and Steamboat look for the ramp. Nobody's coming out. Because they're coming out from the crowd and they start beating them from behind. Tennis racket comes out. Cornette's putting some boots in. And they leave them laying. And they hold up those titles to the camera before they put them back. And by the way, I just want to point out, these are the unified tag team titles. So they have both the NWA and WCW titles. So there's four belts in the ring there. But yeah, there's our Hollywood Blondes. A lot better than the real debut that we just watched
yeah.
of that tag team. So,
did you see me marking as soon as you said the Cornette thing?
Yes. I saw that. This gets us to our Big Van Vader match. He is going one-on-one with already in the ring, Eric Watts.
Oh, yeah.
Vader gets his shit in. 3-minute match, Vader bomb, 1, 2, 3. Vader and Harley Race are now cutting a promo in ring. Harley Race says, there's one person in this world that knows something about great world's heavyweight champions. It's Harley Race. I fought the best of them. For many, many years, I was the best of them. I've never seen a man more dominant than Big Van Vader. I fought them all. the Terry Funks, the Dory Funks, the Jack Briscoes, the Ric Flairs, all of them. I've beaten them all, but I've never seen anyone like this. Big Van Vader. And he says, you know what? Somebody called him out last week. Sting. But you know what, Sting? We're not coming alone. Because you haven't earned yourself an opportunity against Vader. But we're going to put together a crew. Out comes Paul Orndorff and Cactus Jack.
Ooh.
The three of us challenge you, Sting, and any two guys you can find to a six-man tag team championship or tag team match at Clash of the Champions. So Sting and two mystery partners versus Vader, Orndorff, and Cactus. Now comes U.S. Tar Heel Tournament Round 2. Arn Anderson versus Here Comes Too Cold Scorpio.
Ooh.
This is a back-and-forth match. We're gonna give about 50-50 offense, both guys. Scorpion's going to shine, but Anderson's going to catch him, slow him down, start putting some holds on, you know, get his heat. Scorpio does get a comeback. He actually puts Arn out in the mat, goes up top, 450. Arn rolls, as Scorp tries to get back up, DDT, 1-2-3. Arn Anderson's on to the finals of the U.S. title tournament at Clash of the Champions. This takes us to a pre-tape promo of Dustin Rhodes addressing how Barry Windham backstabbed him at the last Clash of the Champions back in November. And he vows to get revenge on Barry Windham. And he's going to knock him out of this title tournament. Barry Windham cuts a promo live, saying how Dustin Rhodes cost them the tag team titles by being a loser. And his morals are what make him weak. Dustin Rhodes comes up and Pearl Harbors him. The two start brawling and head on into the ring. Ding, ding, ding. Match starts. This is going to go the remainder of TV time, about 15 minutes. This is a Southern brawl. This is Southern wrestling at its finest. Windham is going to keep trying to cheat. Randy Anderson's going to catch him, but not DQ him. He's going to catch him before he gets it. Eventually, what's going to happen is one of these trying to cheat attempts, he's going to get pulled around by Anderson. They're going to get into an argument. Rhodes going to come up behind Bulldog. 1-2-3. Dustin wins. As Dustin has his hand raised, Barry Windham ambushes him from behind and starts putting the boots on him. And Arn Anderson runs out from backstage. And Windham smiles. He holds out a hand to his former Four Horsemen partner. Anderson grabs his hand, pulls him in and DDTs him.
Didn't see that coming.
Arn Anderson's turning babyface.
Didn't see that coming.
And he lifts Dustin Rhodes up, shakes his hand, and then pulls him in. Says, I'll see you, Clash Champion. Stare down, ends the show. So we got a babyface final to the tournament. But as you saw, my babyface side needs some help.
Yeah.
So Arn Anderson's turning babyface.
Double A might help out a little bit.
And a little bit of a spoiler alert, but there's a reason he's turning babyface for some things that are going to happen later in the year. I need him on the babyface side. He did turn babyface in real life around this time, yeah. Not in this way, but they're building him up to turn babyface in the real world, so I'm going to do that as well. This cuts us to Clash Champions. Tony Schiavone and Jesse Ventura run down the big matches for the night. Arn Anderson versus Dustin Rhodes for the United States Championship. Ricky Steamboat and Shane Douglas versus the Hollywood Blondes for the tag titles. Vader, Paul Orndorff, and Cactus Jack versus the Sting Team. We're going to kick it off. Nice little competitive match of Marcus Bagwell and Brad Armstrong versus Vinny Vegas and Scotty Flamingo with DDP.
That sounds pretty good.
It's going to be short because I only got so much time, but this is going to continue the feud that had been running between Brad Armstrong and Scotty Flamingo, dating back to the heavy or light heavyweight title time. Vegas actually gets the win after DDP pulls on Brad Armstrong's leg, distracts him. He picks him up, snake eyes, big boot, 1-2-3. Vegas goes over with Scotty Flamingo. Bill Watts comes to the ring to announce a battle royal next week on Saturday night to crown a new television champion.
I was wondering where you're going to bring that back in.
A man comes out from the back. Something we haven't seen before. Coming out a little posh. William, a.k.a. in my universe, Steven Regal, comes on out, interrupting Watts, and says there's only one man distinguished enough to be the champion of television. And that is Lord Steven Regal. Bill Watts says, he's not here to put his hands on a wrestler. But you interrupt me like this and you're going to catch a beatdown. And I know someone who will. Eric Watts runs out from backstage. We have an impromptu match between Eric Watts and Steven Regal. Regal squashes him. He puts those lefts on him. He beats him down. He puts him in every hold he can. And to finish it off, STF. Tap out. Eric Watts loses. Bill Watts just shakes his head and walks away. Kind of disappointed in the young guy. We'll see where that goes. Larry Zbyszko is now backstage to interview the tag team champions. But only Ricky Steamboat's there. Where's Shane Douglas? Steamboat says, I don't know. He's in the building. He walked in with me. He had to run back to the car because he forgot something. But I haven't seen him. I'm sure he's around here somewhere. He might be in catering. I'm going to look for him before our match starts. I know my partner. I know I trust him. He'll be there. Larry accuses Shane Douglas of being scared. He says, I don't blame you. This tag team of the Hollywood Blondes looks like they're the next big thing, Steamboat. And I wouldn't be surprised if your partner tucked tail and ran back to Philadelphia. Ooh. Steamboat walks out on the interview. He has nothing left to say. We do get a video package showing highlights from New Japan Wrestling of new IWGP champion and current NWA champion, Great Muta. Showing some highlights. And Great Muta's here in the building. He's going to have a one-on-one match for the NWA World Heavyweight Championship with Bobby Eaton.
Ooh, hello.
So I'm giving these guys some time. Muta's working babyface, so he's going to shine. Eaton cuts him off, builds some heat. Muta mounts a comeback, but Eaton cuts him off, and he's going for that armbar DDT. Tries to put him away. Muta escape, sidekicks him in the gut, spinning back elbow, jump to the top rope, moonsault. Muta, still champion. Good little match, though.
That sounds fun.
Give him some time. Now, word comes in from backstage that Shane Douglas is in medical. He has sustained a leg injury. No word on the cause of the injury or his status for tonight's match, but we will pass that information along to you fans as soon as we know. We now go to a backstage interview with Sting, who is asked by Jim Ross, who are your mystery partners for tonight? And he responds, well, they wouldn't be surprise partners if you knew who they were. But this surprise will shock the world. This brings us to Arn Anderson, Dustin Rhodes, U.S. title. I give him about 12-ish minutes. I want to give him a little bit of time. Pretty even back and forth match. Arn gets whipped into the referee, knocks the referee out. Barry Windham runs in and starts putting the boots on both of them, but really on Dustin. He's more mad at Dustin, and now he's putting the boots on Dustin. Arn Anderson comes in, runs him off. Arn helps Dustin back to his feet, slaps his hand, the match continues. Doesn't take advantage of it. He's a babyface now. And Larry Zbyszko says, I don't know, that might cost him. The old Arn, actually I think it's Jesse, The old Arn Anderson would have spine-bustered him right there and taken advantage of that. I don't know about this new Arn Anderson. It looks like he might be weaker than he was before. But Dustin's primed to go for that win. He's got Arn back up against the ropes. Arn's coming up, his back to Dustin. You know, it's that setup for that bulldog. He comes running in. As soon as he gets about a step away, Arn turns around, picks him up, plants him. Spine-buster, Arn Anderson is your U.S. champion.
That sounds like it'd be a great finish.
Arn Anderson. He's getting a push, pals.
As he should.
After the match, Arn and Dustin shake hands. Dustin raises his hands, kind of says, show respect, here you go. Tony Giovanni and Jesse Ventura said they have now received word that there's security camera footage of what happened to Shane Douglas. So we cut to CCTV, real grainy, this is 1993, not high quality, but it shows Shane Douglas walking with his luggage in the parking garage with Ricky Steamboat. Douglas says something. He turns around. We don't hear it because it's, you know, CC. And Steamboat goes on into the arena. Douglas goes back towards the car. Once he gets back to his car, Austin and Pillman ambush him, start beating on him. They smash his head into the car. They start punching and kicking him. They put him down. Once he's down, Austin opens the car door. Pillman puts his leg into the door, and Austin slams it shut. Slams it shut on his leg. Pillman and Austin give each other a high five and book it on out of there. Tony says he's never seen such a cowardly act, while Jesse Ventura says it's good strategy by this new tag team.
We gotta win those titles, Tony.
Now, Jim Ross is running backstage. He finds Ricky Steamboat, and he tells him. And he says, what are you going to do? Are you still going on with the match? Because I've heard from Bill Watts, you're going to have to forfeit the titles if you don't wrestle tonight. Ricky says he's not gotten to where he was in the world of professional wrestling by running away from anything. What the Blondes did was cowardly. But I'm going to make them pay. We're going to have a handicap match. Ricky Steamboat versus Steve Austin and Brian Pillman with Jim Cornette. Steamboat gets the advantage early and surprises Austin and Pillman, who are huddling with Cornette. Outside the ring, he dives over the top rope and takes all three of them out. Steamboat continues to roll for the first few minutes of the match, hitting high-impact moves to try and win it early. Got to tell that psychology, if I got to win this match as quick as possible, for the numbers game takes me out. But the challengers just keep kicking out. Pillman eventually cuts him off with an eye rake, and they start getting heat. Now they're trading tags, working. Eventually, Steamboat's got Austin down to headlock, Austin's got Steamboat down to headlock, and Steamboat rallies up. He gets out. He starts bumping both Austin and Pillman all over the place. Steamboat gets Austin leaning back up against the ropes, goes for a crossbody. Austin turns it into a stun gun. 1, 2, 3, your new champions, Steve Austin and Brian Pillman. In their very first match, well, real match as tag teams, they are your new champs. Vader, Orndorff, Cactus Jack make their way down to the ring, flanked by Harley Race. As they wait in the ring, Sting comes down all by himself, and the heels are laughing. They're making jokes. Sting couldn't find any partners. Sting grabs a mic and says he did find partners. And his first one, here comes Too Cold Stompy, yo!
Yeah.
The heels are laughing even harder now. They're saying, that's who you got? Yeah, that's it? That's what you got? You got Too Cold? But he says, no, I have another partner. And Rule Britannia starts playing as Davey Boy Smith comes out. Now the heels are mad. Now they're angry. They didn't even know he was in WCW. So we get up. Orndorff starts out in the ring with Too Cold. But Too Cold gets some shine in here. Orndorff eventually scoots back to his corner, tags Invader, and that's the end of the shine.
Yeah.
Sorry, Too Cold. The heels control the match for the most part. Sting eventually gets a comeback. He starts cleaning house. He tags in Dave, who's beating on Orndorff, until Vader actually grabs him from the apron. He's, you know, got him spread out, set up for Orndorff to punch him. But Sting runs over and knocks Vader off the apron. They start brawling outside. Orndorff tags in Cactus. Cactus runs in, caught by Davey, running power slam. Game over. So Sting, Too Cold, and Davey Boy win. The baby faces, they celebrate and get out of there. The heels are stunned in the ring. Cactus tries to explain. Vader doesn't want to hear it. Shut it! Touch your mouth! He keeps trying. Vader and Orndorff look at each other and start beating the absolute tar out of Cactus Jack and leave him laying out in the ring as the show comes to an end. Now we get to my shorter shows. These are when the Atlanta Hawks games start coming in.
Hawks Sonics.
We kick off the next episode of WCW Nitro. Or Nitro. Wow.
Saturday Nitro.
January 16th, 1993. Recap the Clash. The show begins with the new tag team champions, Austin and Pillman, with Cornette in hand. He says, these are the new shining stars of wrestling, the future of the business, and he's devastated to hear about Shane Douglas' unfortunate accident. It was a tragic accident. He was in a car accident. There's nothing that could have been done. He doesn't want it said that the Blondes are afraid of a challenge, so they're going to defend their titles tonight. against a world-renowned tag team that's not from WCW. They're going to bring in a tag team. Jim Ross and Larry Zbysko say there is no word on Shane Douglas' injury and whether he would be back in time for a rematch at Super Brawl. Pillman and Austin come out to the ring flanked by Cornette. And he says, the world-renowned team, former Crockett Cup participants from none other than Anderson, South Carolina, the Mulkey Brothers!
Yes!
Pillman and Austin are feigning that they are just terrified of this challenge. They are freaking out. Anytime the Mulkeys hit them, they bump like Shawn Michaels versus Hulk Hogan at SummerSlam 2005 before they cut it off and squash the Mulkeys.
All right, we've had some fun.
We then get a hype package of Rick Rude working out in the gym, rehabbing, hopefully to be ready by Super Brawl. Vader's now in the ring with Harley Race and Paul Orndorff. He announces that the WCW Board of Directors has given Sting a title shot at Super Brawl 3. And Vader will rectify the wrongs that happened at the Clash. Vader did not lose. Mr. Wonderful did not lose. A weak, pathetic man by the name of Cactus Jack lost. Out comes Cactus trying to explain what happened, but he's jumped again. And I end up putting him through the set. The interview set. They throw him right through the stage. We go to commercial, come back. Already in the ring. Bob Cook.
Ooh.
Versus Dustin Rhodes.
Ooh.
We have a squash match. Dustin goes over. After the match.
No big left hands by Bob Cook there?
Nope. After the match, Wyndham jumps Dustin and screams, I will see your ass at Super Brawl. Pre-taped sit-down interview with Arn Anderson, who says for over a decade now, he's perfected his craft as a tag team wrestler, but is now excited for a new challenge as a singles champion. He says he will take on all challengers and will never be afraid to defend his United States Championship. Tony and Larry say next week they're receiving word of something called the White Castle of Fear. I don't know what it is, but we'll find out next week. We now go to our main event, Television Championship Battle Royal. Marcus Bagwell, Too Cold Scorpio, Eric Watts, Tom Zink, Johnny Gunn, Johnny B. Badd, Chris Benoit, Steven Regal, Vinny Vegas, Scotty Flamingo, Brad Armstrong, Barbarian, Dan Spivey, Bobby Eaton, Tex Lazinger, Shanghai Pierce. Whew.
Who's who right there?
Yes, quite a match there. This match is going to go through a commercial break. It's going to go a little while. Cut to the final four. Too Cold, Johnny B. Badd, Bobby Eaton, Steven Regal. Too Cold throws out Eaton. Regal throws out Badd. Then get Scorp. Steven Regal is your winner and new television champion in his rightful place. Show begins next week, 23rd. Show begins with Tony and Larry teasing that the White Castle of Fear will be shown tonight in its entirety. Also, Arn Anderson will be making his first U.S. title defense against a young up-and-coming wrestler. Match 1, Brad Armstrong versus Vinny Vegas with Scotty Flamingo and DDP. Vegas, I mean, really is kind of dominating. He's bigger. Any offense Brad Armstrong gets because he's quicker. He goes to whip Armstrong into the ropes where Scotty is going to attack him. But the Irish whip is countered, and Vegas actually wipes out Scotty into DDP, kind of like a train wreck there. Vinny Vegas puts his hands up. Oh, sorry. Rolled up from behind. 1-2-3 Brad Armstrong. Gets his win. Gets a little measure of revenge against this little heel stable that's been giving him hassle. Now, back to Jim Cornette. Promo with Austin and Pillman. He says that they are so disappointed and sad that Shane Douglas was crippled in his car accident at the Clash of the Champions. And he's heard that Shane may never walk again. Cornette also says he's going to petition WCW Corporate to have Ricky Steamboat forfeit his guaranteed rematch for the tag team titles. Steamboat enters the set and says not only will he not forfeit the titles, but he talked to Shane, received words from the doctor that his leg injury was only a contusion, and he will be medically cleared for Super Brawl. And the heels are furious. They're throwing stuff, storming off the set. As we go to a commercial. Come back. Already in the ring, the wonderful jobber team of Robbie V and Kip Montana. You know who those... I know you know who Robbie V is. Do you know Kip Montana?
Is that Billy Gunn?
That is Billy Gunn, Monty Sopp. Versus Johnny Gunn and Z-Man. Squash match, Z-Man gets the win. Now we have a Cactus Jack promo. Paul Orndorff, Big the Invader, you have done something you could not, you shouldn't have done. And that is double-cross Cactus Jack. You're going to pay for what you did to me. You're going to face the truth and consequences. You've awoken a darkness in Cactus Jack that you don't want to see. Paul Orndorff, that Super Brawl, I'm going to make your life a living hell. Baby! So Cactus Jack, Paul Orndorff, that Super Brawl. Arn Anderson versus Barb. It's our U.S. title match.
Ooh, okay.
Give him about 8-10 minutes. Barb gets some heat. Arn makes a comeback. Puts him away with a spine buster.
Sounds like a decent little match here.
And then, as our main event of the evening, we see the White Castle of Fear video.
Oh, geez.
Hey, it was already made. Got to put it over.
Using the same video?
Same exact video.
Oh,
why man. Not?
Oh, Harold and Kumar showing up.
WCW Saturday Night, January 30th, my last episode of the month. Live in action tonight on TBS, we have Davey Boy Smith and Sting in tag team action. Ooh. We get an update from Medusa about the status of Rick Rude and his pending title shot at Super Brawl. We start off with a television championship defense. Already in the ring, Bruiser Mastino versus Steven Regal.
Ooh.
Bruiser actually gets a little bit of offense early. I mean, he is a bigger guy. Regal starts to wear him down, kind of does some leg kicks, chops him down, works the leg. Eventually makes him tap on the STF. Regal is still your... By the way, this is a television championship match. Why not? Steven Regal starts to pad his defense total here.
It's weird how many future Fed guys are job guys in early 90s WCW.
Hey, gotta do what I gotta do.
Does Somalia know who that is?
I don't know if they do know, but maybe they'll go to the dentist and find out. Maybe you get some diesel, drive down to the dentist.
Yeah. Around Christmas time?
If you eat too many candy canes, you might get a Christmas creature take you to the dentist.
In Memphis?
Maybe. Now we get a hype package. This is a pre-taped video. The Hollywood Blondes are walking around L.A., seeing the famous sights, including Venice Beach. Steve Austin says, I don't know. I don't see Sting anywhere around here, brother. And brother. We'll kind of dwell on that phrase. They go to Grauman's Chinese Theater. I think this is where Great Muda lives, is what Jim Cornette says.
I can see Cornette saying that, too.
And, of course, they end it posing in front of the Hollywood sign. Upcoming match, Brad Armstrong and Scotty Flamingo will be a number one contenders match for the U.S. Championship at Super Brawl versus Arn Anderson.
Ooh.
Scotty Flamingo ends up going over here. He gets a little bit of help from DDP and turns it into a DDT as he pins Brad Armstrong. And an absolute ridiculous over-the-top celebration with Vinny Vegas, DDP, and Scotty Flamingo. We now go to Medusa in the ring with a microphone. She says Rick Rude is still upset that he was unjustly stripped of his title by the bully Bill Watts. And that he is working day and night to get back into shape before Super Brawl 3. Bill Watts comes out and says if Rick Rude is not medically cleared by the date of Super Brawl, he is going to the very back of the line when it comes to title shots. And he says, this is the key line, we aren't going to have anyone on this roster laying around collecting insurance checks from England.
Nice shot.
Yeah. And our main event of the evening, Davey Boy Smith and Sting versus the debuting Rage and Fury, the Wrecking Crew. This is a glorified squash match. Sting and Davey Boy get their shit in for a running power slam, finishes it. However, Vader, Harley Race, Paul Orndorff storm out, lay out Davey Boy and Sting, and Harley Race is carrying a strap and says, this is going to be a strap match at Super Brawl.
White Castle strap match, not Yappa Pie.
Yep, and that is the end of the script. WCW, January 1993.
That's some good stuff. I'm going to have to step my game up here for February.
WCW is not going to be a pushover.
I got to step to Ron on this one here. So basically,
but you got your Royal Rumble.
Yes. But basically, like, my roster at this time is about the same as what it was going into 93.
Give me a handful of your biggest players. Who's your main event? Who's your upper mid card, roughly?
Flair's still there.
Heel.
Okay. Razor.
Heel?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm going to build up some Shawn as well.
Yep.
And then face side, I got Macho.
Okay.
Perfect. Brett.
I mean, it's a pretty good core.
That's a good start. I mean, Yoko's right there as well. I have some returns that are coming as well, possibly.
All right.
Brother.
Yeah, you got Yoko working his way up as an establishing heel.
Yep.
Cool. So you're going to start us off with a little bit of superstars? Or primetime?
The very last primetime.
Very last primetime.
Remember, Raw starts January 11th.
There we go.
So I have one last primetime where we're building up to the Rumble.
Deion Sanders?
Yep, the Rumble in Colorado.
Is it?
No.
Oh, okay. I don't remember where Sacramento 3 was. Okay.
In Sacramento was at Arco.
Okay.
We're going to kick things off. A couple of Royal Rumble participants here. Kamala taking on the Macho Man, Randy Savage.
Okay.
Just a quick Macho shine, about 4 or 5 minutes.
Make him look good against a guy who was in some pretty big matches in 92.
And, you know, a credible heel could be in there in the Rumble in the mix. Building up to our main event world title match, which Bret Hart is the world champion. All my champions are the same. Bret, Shawn, and Money Inc.
Okay. So, Shawn's IC, Bret's world.
Yep.
Okay.
Flair Bret promo segment. Flair Bret Rumble rematch.
Ooh.
At the Rumble. You know, they're going back and forth. Flair's like, you beat me one time. Woo! But it won't be a second. Because I'm the Nature Boy. And Bret just, you know, cutting his scared babyface promo. Because he's not a babyface promo kind of guy.
No.
It's like a Mean Gene back and forth kind of deal right there. Next up, we got Razor, who's going into a big-time match at the Rumble. Won't spoil who's that.
Oh, okay. Just
won't spoil that one
yet. We're just saying he will be featured.
He will be in a match at the Rumble.
Okay.
He's just taking on a jobber. You know, we got Dwayne Gill out there, you know. Gilbert squashes Razor. No.
So he's beating Dwayne Gill. Talking about that he will have a match against an opponent to be announced.
Well, it is announced. Should I spoil it? It's perfect.
Okay.
Perfect Razor at the Rumble.
There you
building go. Off the Survivor Series. You know, got a little branch off right there. And then we have a Sean Marty segment, because it's Sean Marty at the Rumble as well.
Oh.
Why change that? Sean with a quick IC title defense against Big Verge. Just a little, Sean gets a shit in about 6-7 minutes.
Yep. What's he using for his finish at this time? Is this...
He's transitioning to the super kick. Now it's still a little bit of that teardrop suplex, but it's the transition.
Are you going to start putting over the super kick? Okay.
And then Money Inc. and Nasties are be at the Rumble as well. Tag title match.
Against each other?
Yes.
Okay, so Nasties are babyface.
Nasties are face. Yeah, after the angle in 92 where Jimmy Hart sold their title shot, did that.
I'm not super familiar with end of 92, early 92.
Yeah, I was rereading it and brushing up on it. So they got a segment recapping that feud, recapping Survivor Series, going through. And a tag team title match, no contest, double DQ with Money Inc. and the Disasters again. Just, you know, Money Inc. trying, almost being credible champions, but still being, you know, cowardly heels, get that double DQ finish going on. About 8-9 minutes, whatever, have a little fun. And then the vignette of a return that's going to happen the night after the Rumble.
Brother. So this will be on Raw.
Yeah.
Brother. So we're getting some...
Yeah.
Is it straight up just he's back, or is it like hinting?
It's like a hint. You see people he's beat.
I am... Yeah,
you hear that faintly in the background, and just some faint like red and yellow colors coming.
You see like a Bundy, you see an Andre, you see who else would they? He wouldn't want to put over Warrior guys that he can. Yeah,
guys that are already gone.
Yeah, guys you can say you know
Boss Man.
Yeah, you didn't want to put Savage in there. No. But yeah, okay.
Yeah, and a little, and then it ends with a barber cut.
Okay. And he hasn't been on TV in a long time, right?
He does come back in real life right around this time.
Yeah, because he had the jet ski.
He basically died.
Yeah, broke
his face. Should have died. He got lucky he didn't die.
Yeah.
And then after this, we got Big Yokes taking on a jobber. We got Glenn Ruth out there just putting Yoko over, building him up as a big Rumble challenger.
Okay. I love the old New York jobbers. Isn't he one of the headbangers?
Glenn Ruth? Yeah, it was Thrasher.
Okay.
And then we got the Rumble Rundown, where we go over the matches, so we might as well go over the matches right now. IC title matches, Marty and Sean. Tag title matches, Money Inc. and the Nasties. We have Perfect and Razor. World title match of Bret and Flair. And the Rumble match itself, with the names of the top few participants, which is Macho and Razor and Perfect, Money Inc., Yoko.
No Mob Cook?
And then our main event for the very last primetime wrestling is Ric Flair versus Owen Hart.
Ooh.
Owen's right there.
Is this on primetime still?
Yeah. This is the very last primetime match.
Okay.
Oh, and Flair with a little help from Heenan. Heenan's still kind of floating in that manager role, kind of going back and forth. You know, a little shot to the leg. Owen passes out from the figure four to pain. Keenan's holding on to the hands.
Wow. You're protecting Owen.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I got some plans for Owen going on later on here. Fair enough. I got some plans for Owen. He's still with Coco, too, so, I mean, I need a couple babyface challengers, possibly, later down the road for Money, Inc. And that is the very last primetime wrestling. Superstars and challenge, just normal build-up crap, because... If something big happens on one of those shows, I'll put it in there. Just probably how you do the same. If anything big happens.
Yeah.
Which probably won't.
No. But, not a main event or pro or whatever.
Yeah. But, I mean, we're already like 74 hours long into this, too.
Yeah. Well, we're not.
We're not quite to 3 hours yet?
We're not to an hour yet.
Oh, wow.
No.
And we have the Go Home Raw. These are just hour shows right now, going from the 2 hour to the 1 hour.
I would say the 1 hour didn't start till 97.
When it went to two, yeah.
Went to two, yeah. It was 1 hour for a long time.
Okay. Yeah, when they switched the sets. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. So, Marty, getting a little, have a little fun match with Skinner. Yeah, probably a little 5-6 minutes. First match on Raw, have a little decent back and forth. Put Marty over, have a little fun. Then we have a Bret promo talking about how dastardly Flair was. Just putting over the match.
Not the kind of world champion that the World Wrestling Federation fans want to see.
Yeah. Pretty much. And then we have a perfect squash match.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter.
It's a perfect squash match.
Yeah. You know what?
It's not an above average Mike Sanders squash match. No. It's a perfect squash match.
Yeah. And you know what? Just because he's a jobber, it's Bob Cook.
He's working both Atlanta and New York.
He's double dude. He's the first Rick Rude.
Hey, you know what? I heard he's a great trainer.
Yeah.
I heard he trains some real champions.
Yeah.
Maybe that'll get brought up at some point. I don't know.
Oh. And then another Rumble report, the final rundown going into the Rumble, announcing some new names, like Tenru.
Now...
And Jerry the King Lawler.
So I'm trying to remember the gimmick where he was trying to be like the bounty hunter, was that 94?
94 with Luger.
Okay.
Yeah, with Tenru and Kabuki.
Yeah, okay. I just want to make sure.
Which, Kabuki is there as well. Yeah. So, we have a little international flavor.
Tenryu Kabuki at Rumble. I'm down with that.
Yeah. I mean, they do have a working relationship with War. So.
I mean, I'm bringing in Muda. You can bring in Tenryu. It sounds fair enough to me.
Yeah. And Kabuki. Two for one deal. Yeah. Because, I mean, you get Liger and Kensuke, and then I get Tenryu Kabuki.
Yeah. I mean, we'll bring people in.
Yeah. I mean, we might as well. Our rosters are Kevin thin.
Yeah. I don't know about how bad yours is, but mine's rough.
Yeah, I was looking. I was reading some of the '93. It's like, oh boy, yeah, I'm bringing some of the Memphis guys up a little earlier.
You don't want to push Doink as a main eventer? Come on.
Doink vignettes are going on Superstars and Challenge right now.
He's still heel, right?
Yeah. This is Matt Bourne. Yeah. This is the good bad Doink.
Yeah.
And then the main event for the very first Monday Night Raw. A little Hoss action here. Razor taking on the Boss Man.
I could get down with that.
I'm surprised we didn't see that match. That would be. Good Hoss battle.
Yeah.
But
they can both go, too.
Yeah. But Razor unhooks the top turnbuckle. Boss Man charges in. Back first. Razor's edge. 1, 2, 3. Boss Man does the stretcher job.
Ooh. So he's wrapped up here.
Pretty much, yeah. Sure. They'll do some injury vignettes and stuff, but slowly they...
Fair enough.
Unless I accidentally put him on... Nope, I did not put him on one of my other shows, so...
All right, so... Bossman's wrapped up. He might be heading to Atlanta. We'll see.
Yeah. And then we get into the Rumble. Dark match. Doink goes over Jim Powers. Just, why not? Just because it's Doink Brah. Kicking things off, Marty vs. Sean, IC title. These matches get some time because it's a four-match show plus a rumble. So Marty and Sean, they get 18 minutes.
Okay. I'm down with that.
Sean wins. It's the roll-up out of the ropes, the old flare pin.
Okay, yeah.
Keep the feet on the ropes. Sean goes over, but what starts the transition out of the teardrop, Marty kicks out. Marty kicks out.
So he kicks out of the teardrop.
Yeah.
Got it. Okay.
That's where starting to transition over to super kick.
Fair enough.
But Sean goes over a little dastardly style. Next match, we got the tag.
Heat.
Yeah. Next match, tag title match, Money Inc. and the Nasties. Money Inc. carry it because the Nasties are... They're
better in a brawl.
They're charisma guys.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's still some heat because...
They were over.
Yeah.
Give them credit. They get over.
They were over, and I mean, they were okay promos.
Yeah.
Good charisma guys. I mean, nothing terrible to have around.
They look credible.
Yeah. But Money Inc. goes over clean in 11 minutes. IRS with a write-off lariat.
Okay.
After a little, maybe a little Ted distraction, but it's a clean pin.
Got it.
So, clean enough for a heel in 93.
Yeah, it's about as clean as a heel's going to get.
And then right here, we have Perfect versus Razor. Just back and forth. It's some technical, but it's a lot of brawling.
That's a heck of a match.
Stemming from Survivor Series. At about 19 or 20 minutes, here comes Flair. Flair's still kind of chummy with Razor.
Yep.
Still hates Perfect.
Still has heat with Perfect, for sure.
Referee distracted. Flair, pop, with the Nux.
Oh, so Razor's working the ref.
Yep. Flair, Nux. Razor picks him up, hits him with the edge. Put that with 1, 2, 3.
Okay. A lot of heels going over so far.
World title matches. Brett versus Flair. About 26, 27 minutes of just absolutely tearing the house down. Better than the Coliseum video match. It's almost like the sold-out match, which was a hell of a lot better than that match.
Yeah. You're going to give them as much time as they need.
Yeah. So it's about in that 20 to 25-minute range. Perfect's coming out holding his jaw. Flair's, distracted. Brett, schoolboy.
And gets him?
Gets him.
Oh, there you go.
And then that starts the maybe a little dissension, maybe a little build-up to something there. And then,
so Flair and Perfect still have heat.
Yep.
Maybe Brett's moving on.
Brett might be moving on to the winner of the Royal Rumble, because this is the winner of the Royal Rumble gets the heavyweight title match.
It's the first time.
The first time. At WrestleMania. Yoko.
Well, brother, no, but in the past, dude, you see, the winner of the Royal Rumble, man, would be the World Heavyweight Champion, dude.
And we can't have Bret Hart be the World Heavyweight
Champion. Yeah, yeah, but in 91, though, I won the Royal Rumble, and I challenged for the Heavyweight Championship, dude.
And also in 1990, I was the World Heavyweight Champion.
Yeah, see, dude, so I'm thinking maybe I should win the Royal Rumble here, dude, because I lost last year because Sid Justice ripped me off, dude, but this year I got to go over, dude. This is how the booking meeting is going right now.
Wait, brother. I don't work Sacramento, brother. That's a C-town, California, brother.
Yeah, but if I go over the world title, I'll go out
there. I'll sacrifice and go to Oakland, brother.
I'll be the sacrifice of Sacramento.
Sacramento sacrifice.
You know what that reference is, right? To sacrifice of Sacramento?
Oh, no.
That's Yah Papai.
Oh, yeah, it is.
Sacrifice of Sacramento, brother.
Yeah, it is. All right, and we have Larry, brother.
Exactly. Go ahead.
So Yoko makes a strong showing.
Okay.
But
who? Let's. I want to ask some questions. You may not have these prepared.
I'll come up with something.
Who comes out 1 and 2?
That's one and two. We have Bob Backlund.
Okay.
At number one. At number two, Deavers.
Ooh. So some guys who can go a long way.
Yep. Yep. And Backlund does go a long way. He makes it to about the final five or six.
Okay. Which is what he did in real life.
I think it was final three, wasn't it?
Yeah, three or four, yeah.
Yeah, he was in. Yeah, because he bested Flair's record.
Yeah, but we didn't acknowledge that.
No. But yeah, and then you have Tenryu and Kabuki come out. This is after some of the American contingent come out of like Tatanka and Jim Duggan. So there might be a little thing going on right there.
Yeah.
But Tatanka and Duggan eliminate them. And Yoko's eliminating all these, lower card faces, like Lance Cassidy, who I think was Scott or Steve Armstrong.
Okay.
So at least they have one of the Armstrongs. And maybe, Coco, some of the lower card faces.
Virgil,
Yeah. Carlos Colon.
That creepy youngster.
Yeah, that youngster at
45 years old.
Who's as old as Flair.
He was actually, this is the great thing, if you...
Wasn't he older than Backlund?
He was a year older than Flair. And at this show, they were talking about how Flair was so old. He even was putting on Flair's old, Flair's old, Flair's old. But then out comes Carlos Colon, and Gorilla Monsoon says, this Caribbean youngster. Oh.
And you can see all the gig scars.
And the balding.
Oh, yeah. So but then, Tatanka and Duggan somehow get Yoko over. America stands strong.
Okay.
Possibly for now.
So just the two of them.
Just the two of them.
Duggan loves that booking right there.
Yeah. But then somehow they both all brawl to the back because it's a Duggan special.
Yeah.
So they're all...
Yokes comes back in the ring, throws Duggan out.
Tenryu and Kabuki.
Oh, okay.
Come back out. They start, you know...
So then all five of them brawl to the back?
Yeah.
Because it's Duggan.
Yep, Duggan special. I mean, pretty much. And then Bam Bam makes a huge push to the final three.
Okay.
Which my final three is Macho, Razor, Bam Bam.
Macho, Razor, Bam Bam. And
yes,
then,
I have guys doing double shots because...
Fair enough. And then Backlund was in the mix there.
Yep, Backlund was... make Backlund the final four.
Okay.
So then Backlund gets tossed over by Razor. Heels dominate Macho, which, by the way, Macho enters at 5.
Okay, so he's going a long way.
Razor's at 27.
Ooh.
Well, Razor did work 20 minutes with Flip.
We know what that number means.
Yeah.
27.
So then... Heels working. Bam Bam sets up, you know, gets set up Macho for the clothesline. Razor accidentally clotheslines out. Bam Bam.
Okay.
Little heat there.
So final two, Macho and Razor.
Yes. There's also something in there as well. Guess who eliminates Taker? Bam Bam.
Ooh, okay.
Bam Bam sneaks out a little early after Taker clears out some of the lower card heels like Damian Demento, Brawler, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Bam Bam sneaks out early before his number.
Oh, so that's good stuff. That's good stuff.
Little,
I like it.
Little, you know what? I'm the big man here now, Taker, not you.
Yeah. And he gets kind of the stare down from Taker as he rolls the eyes.
Yeah, because fuck John Gonzalez. I'm not bringing him in.
No.
You can keep him.
He must be 20 feet tall.
Dickless, 20 feet tall. So, Macho and Razor, because this is also a callback to Survivor Series as well.
Yeah.
They go about... They go about 4 or 5 minutes.
Okay.
A little back and forth.
A little mini match.
Yep. But Razor's coming for the clothesline. Macho pulls the top rope.
He goes over.
Razor flies over.
No skin in the cat?
Nope.
Okay. So you got Macho and Randy Savage wins the Royal Rumble.
World champion, Bret Hart.
Interesting.
Where could that lead to? To Raw the next night. Where it starts off with Perfect and Flair just beating the absolute crap out of each other. Refs, Tony Garea.
In the ring, backstage?
Backstage.
Okay.
Like, they both walked into the arena at the same time, start arguing, and they just start...
Got their little wheeled suitcase gimmicks.
Yeah. They just start beating the crap out of each other, throwing each other off
I
cars.
I see Flair in a suit, and Perfect's in, like, his neon tracksuit.
Yeah. Yeah, it looked like Rumble 92.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're just... It almost looks like the actual real life, you know, like the Perfect Sean brawl that they had with the cars and stuff.
Okay.
Where they, didn't they use Fink's car?
Probably.
I think it was Fink's car.
Sounds like something
up.
They would do.
So, just straight brawl. Refs finally... They finally break it up. Now we go into a Rumble recap. Kind of calm things down. Put over the main angles. Doing all that. Next match, we have Sean taking on a jobber. Just... This is where the super kick starts getting put over. He fakes the side suplex. No. Super kick.
Bam.
Super kick takes out Barry Hardy.
Okay.
And then we have a Macho promo where he's like, I don't know how much more I have left. Time to snap into it one more time, Brett. You're holding my title. I'm not doing a very good Macho, but you know where I'm going with this.
Ooh, yeah. So here's the thing, Brett Hitman Hurt. Some people have been saying the Macho Man doesn't have a lot left in the tank. Ooh, yeah. But the Macho Man, I got at least one more run in me.
I proved it last night. I still have a lot in the tank. I went 53 minutes in the Rumble. Yeah.
There you go.
And then a main event, a new tag team, the Steiner Brothers.
Yeah. Very sad that I don't have those in WCW, yeah. But...
Because, true story, that's why they don't have the television title.
Yeah, Scott Steiner was the TV champion.
Because Rick was hurt, wasn't he?
I think so.
So they come in, main event against the Beverlys.
Ooh, I like the Bevs.
And, you know, have a little fun, little 10-minute match, almost like a glorified squash.
Yeah.
Getting the Steiner shit in. Steiner Bulldog, 1, 2, 3.
They're tossing them all over the place.
Yeah, just, you know, having a little fun. Next week on Raw, we will have Ric Flair in action, Bam Bam Bigelow, and a world title defense from Bret the Hitman Hart.
Wow, so we're getting world title matches on Raw. Okay.
Hey, might as well go big. Speaking of big, this could have been an interesting one. Bob Backlund versus Ric Flair.
That's a match that we really never got, right? They tangled in the Rumble, 93.
Yeah, I think they probably did NWA, WWF, like, title draws.
It might have, yeah.
Probably in the early 80s.
Gosh, I'm thinking, because...
Wait, no, it would have been Harley and Dusty.
It would have been Harley, I mean...
I know they did ones with Harley.
The first...
Look at that rat tail.
The first Flair run would have been 81, so they might have
did something.
Yeah, but I don't think he held the belt very long in that run, did he?
Because
the big run that really established him was 83.
83, yeah.
Okay.
So maybe, you know, it could be a little bit of a clash of styles, possibly, but...
Alan Jones isn't in that match.
He was like 11.
Oh, hey, you are, but I am.
A splooed shirt.
All right.
Anyways, Flair, a little heel chicanery, does the old spot, like the old Kerry Von Erich spot, knocks him out with the punch, slides in through, like the Piper finish, slides in through the second rope, keeps his feet on the ropes.
Yeah!
So, you know, a little 8 to 10 minute match, you know, which could be Backlund's very first TV pinfall loss. Something that could come back to bite him.
Probably. Actually, now that you say that, you're right.
Because I believe in real life, I think they said the first one was Razor at 9.
Yeah.
So, there's something there. Then we get a Mania report where they hype up the Bret Macho main event. And possibly some other matches that are going to be signed this week on Superstars and Challenge and Mania. Ooh. And All American Wrestling and the other Cindy crap.
Do you have any contract signings or just announcements? Going through some tables, maybe we'll see.
You never know. We're not to Dudley. This isn't taped in Dudleyville. So, but speaking of Dudleyville, we got Virgil taking on Bam Bam Bigelow. Bam Bam squash.
Yeah.
And he goes in the camera. That's not Undertaker. Where's the challenge? I want the gravest challenge.
Ooh.
And here's the second most important thing on this show. All of a sudden we hear... Dun, 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 dun,
the second dun. Most important thing in this show. Brother.
Brother.
This is the most
important. You're in the semi-main, brother.
Oh, I don't like that.
So,
dude.
Hogan comes out. Huge pop. Didn't expect him. It was like coming out of the blue.
When was the last time you've been around?
Mania 8.
Wow. Yeah.
Because I think he came back for like one or two Raws in March before.
Okay. So yeah, he had not been seen since
basically a year. Comes back looking great, doing all the Hogan shtick.
Oh yeah.
Coming out. Well, let me tell you something, brother. I'm looking for a WrestleMania challenge. I'm looking. I already want to lay down a challenge, dude, to the winner of the heavyweight title match. I want the next title shot, brother. All of a sudden, we hear some weirdly faint kind of Greek kind of music. Out comes the Narcissus, Lex Luger. Lex Luger comes out, just looks Hogan up and down, and just walks away.
Interesting. Where could this be going?
Narcissus
and Hulk Hogan.
That's something interesting for that. It's a build for the entire year for Hogan starting right there.
We'll see.
And then our main event, Bret Hart defending the World Heavyweight title. Can you guess against who?
Owen Hart.
I wish, but no. I'll give you two more guesses.
Okay, so it's got to be a heel. Who do we have as heels? Tenryu.
Nope.
Nah.
That's a good one, though.
Yokes?
No. Nope.
No, you wouldn't give that away yet.
Nope.
Gosh.
Devers.
Ooh, okay.
Devers. Have a little fun little 10 to 12 minute match. Bret, clean sharpshooter. Macho comes out and just applauds.
And that's how we end the show?
And that's how we end the show.
All right, so we're still, right as of right now, we got Babyface Hart, Babyface Macho.
For now.
For now. See what happens. Hmm. Is that where we end up in January 1993? Yep.
Besides, nothing is happening on the Cindy's at this time.
So as of right now,
could in February.
Confirmed for WrestleMania, you've got the world title match.
Yes.
And then it seems like
there could be a
we have Bam Bam Undertaker.
Possibly.
And it seems like, potentially, you don't have to confirm it or not, seems like maybe we got a Perfect Flair. That's kind of looks where we're building.
Yeah, there's a few things going on. Some of the stuff's slowly getting built on the Cindy's, which doesn't really matter. It'll be brought in February.
All right.
Possibly tag titles. Possibly something with the Rumble Elimination with Yoko.
So some more stuff going on. I love it.
I did like that WCW format. That was nice.
So
I got to step my game up a little bit because a lot of that was kind of winging it, but I'll give away a Bretton Debers on free TV.
I got a script, so... Bro, you gotta have a script. Bro, see, we're going off the script, bro.
I was shooting, bro.
I will say my Saturday nights will not be that long in the future. I went very long on the first two or three Saturday night shows.
It's because the Hawks played on Friday against the Lakers. And then they had a Sunday shot against the Pistons.
Yeah, so... they're going up against that Nick Van Exel, Eddie Jones Laker team.
Is
that about right? Yeah. That may be a year early, but...
Vlade in there?
Probably.
The end of James Worthy.
Was Magic making his AIDS comeback yet?
No, 95, 96.
Okay, yeah.
I think he came back.
Basketball is not my sport, if you couldn't tell. But yeah, that's where we're at. January 1993, hopefully better than the real January 1993.
I think both of them were.
So
there could be some talent exchanges coming up as well.
And that's it. So we've got some people changing employers. We'll probably both be signing some independent wrestlers that are not aligned with either brand yet. And we'll see where we go for that. So anything else you got to say?
See ya.
And we're out of time!